Well, God bless you. Looking forward to sharing some things with you out of God's Word. And what I want to share with you tonight is not so earth-shattering as far as any special spiritual insight that can will change your life. But I do believe by knowing and understanding the main points of my teaching, it will solidify your heart as you recognize and accept these two points that I'll be presenting to you. It will give you rest to your soul, assurance to your participation in the family of God, and it will help motivate you so that you can act with more conviction on who you are in Christ. All right, so this is my goal tonight. And the title of my sharing is Two Qualities for Us to Embrace. Two Qualities for Us to Embrace. And to help communicate these points, I want to associate them with something that we are aware of in everyday life, and then see the spiritual significance for our walk in Christ. Now, a number of years ago, I taught a class on human resource management. I think I taught for some 10 years at a career college, and I would share on human resource management skills, on management, but working with people. And I think most of you, if not all of you, have had jobs that you had worked with other people, right?
Right.
Now, how easy is it to work with other people?
It's not.
It's not. It's a challenge. The more there people there are, it seems the bigger the challenge. And so, you know, you learn some certain points or qualities that will help you be more successful. And as an owner or a manager, you endeavor to hire people that will possibly fit the job that you have available, and that they would possess qualities of character that will turn into the most productive worker possible. Okay? And these positive qualities of character really transcend culture, personalities, background, governments. I don't care where you're at, human resource skills and working together are pretty much the same, regardless of what language you speak, what the job is, where you live. And so we're going to look at two qualities of character that I feel play a very critical role in our Christian life. Okay? And these two great qualities are something that we'll see in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he exhibited, and that what we can incorporate in our renewed mind walk. And it's interesting, I saw these two qualities together in a most unlikely verse. In a certain section of scriptures I rarely read, but somehow I was there, and I caught this verse, and this verse caught my interest. And it's in Revelation 19:11. And I'm not going to share the whole verse, but the part that is pertinent to what I want to present to you tonight. But it says he sat upon him. And of course, this is at the end of Revelation. These are the end times. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's on a white horse. And he sat upon him and was called what?
Faithful
and true. Faithful and true. Now, God in his word could say anything he wants to say, and there's significance in what he does say. And these two qualities of faithful and true are what he attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they must be very important qualities, faithful and true. So let's take a look here at these two words. And the word faithful in the Greek is pistos, and it's translated faithful many, many times in the Bible, if you looked in the concordance. And it means being sure, trustworthy. And the root word for it has an interesting definition. I think this one's worthy of making note of. It says to rely on by inward certainty. Okay, think about faithful, being faithful. Relying on by inward certainty. In the depth of your heart, you're going to do it. You're going to be there. You're going to be reliable, right? Okay. So, now, there's another word here that I want to look at, true, and what that means. This word, I think, is pretty easy for us to understand and know. And something that is true, it's real, it's genuine. It's the opposite of being fictitious, right? Mm-hmm. So if something's true, then it is right, it's genuine, it is true and real. This combination of faithful and true is what we want to keep in our mind as we walk with God our Father and His Son, Christ Jesus. You see, God and His Son are faithful, and we can fully and completely rely on them with an inward certainty, can't we? We really can. The one we are, whom we have placed in our lives, God Almighty, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is true. You know, the things of God are not a Sunday experience. It's a 7 days a week, 24/7, right? Mm-hmm. It's real. It's true. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked with great victory. He overcame Satan. He conquered all that was before him. And it's He who works in us to cause us to walk victorious. And that is true. There's a wonderful quote that someone said, "We are not striving to overcome, but we are in and of the one who has already overcome." Yeah, we've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. So let's be strengthened and encouraged by God's word in light of these two critical qualities of faithfulness and being true. And I'm going to share a number of verses with you along these lines, and I'm going to kind of move quickly, so I don't know if you can stay up with me trying to turn in your Bibles or in your phones or whatever. So you might want to make known of the verse reference, and you can always come back to those at a future time. But I'm going to start in John 8:28 and look at this quality of being true. So John 8:26, I'm sorry, did I say 28? I meant 26. 8:26, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true." Okay? "And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." The things that He heard of His Father is true. You know, a lot of people hear a lot of things from different sources, but the greatest source of all is God Almighty, and He is true. In verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, God is real. His word is real. His promises are real. They are true. And we can take Him at His word. In John 17:3, it says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God." I'm sorry, out there in the world where many, many people worship and look to many different gods, but there's only one true God, and that's their Heavenly Father that gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the only true God. In Romans 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid! Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." You see, God is true. And we really need to build in the depth of our heart that if God is true, then his word is true. And what he says in his word, if it's true, then we can bank on it. We can believe it. We can confess it. We can see it work in our life unlike anything else in this crazy world. We work all the principles that God instituted, the physics and all that other stuff, right? We fly planes because of the physics of lift, and it works every time, doesn't it? God is true, and we can believe him and what he says in his word. And we trust airplanes to fly. We can trust God and the promises he tells us. Really. Now, Philippians 4:8 is a neat little section. It starts out like this. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true..." Whatsoever things are honest, and on it goes, doesn't it? But the first thing, this first quality, is that it's true. Whatsoever things are true. Well, who's true? God? Yes. His word? Yes. And then it finishes with, "If there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things." Think that God is true. That he is really real. He is genuine. He is true. Well, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." The true God. Not just any old God, but the true God. And that's who we're hooked up to. We should be so elated, so grateful, so thankful that we have a connection with the true God.
Amen.
He is true. And then verse 10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Man, we have the privilege to wait for the true reality, what God instituted through his Son, and that he is coming back. He is coming back. And that's true. 1 John 5:20, great verse here in light of what we're talking about. In 1 John 5:20 it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." So, how important is it to be true, genuine, right, correct? Our God is. Our God is true. And man, we want to know him more and more. We want to fellowship with him more and more because he is true. There's no falsehood with God. Everything else, you can't trust, can you? Can you trust that which is true?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, I'm thinking about these things and why can't I believe God bigger? Why can't I see the promises of God come? Well, I just wonder, am I convinced in the depth of my heart that God is true? Yes! I got to get there. I got to grab my mind, renew my mind, and say, God is true. His word is true. He says what he means and means what he says. That's true. We are in him. That is true. So these are realities that if we can really grab hold on, I think our lives will just sparkle like never before. Well, let's look at this aspect of faithful. Faithful. And remember, I shared about a wonderful definition, to rely on by an inward certainty. Rely on by an inward certainty. Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So God is faithful. You can rely on him with the inward certainty that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. I think sometimes we go to God in prayer and we're just kind of hoping, you know, wishful thinking that God would come through for us. Well, we should have all the confidence in the world because God is faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his word. In let's go to 10:13, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it or endure it. God is faithful. You know, we're tested, no doubt about it. The adversary is doing his thing. He lets loose with all his ability and power, and we have to stand against him, don't we? And there's some great challenges that we're all confronted with. But you know what? God is faithful. He's not going to allow anything to happen to you that you can't get through it. And sometimes I know we feel like, oh my golly, how am I going to get through this? What is going to happen? And we get distressful. But wait a minute. God is true, right? He is true. He's not fictitious. And he is faithful to say what he will do for us, and he will take care of us. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above what we can handle. Isn't that great? We take him at his word. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, a short verse, but boy, oh boy, this one nails it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. I mean, there it is. I could have just shared this verse and said amen and we're done. You know, the true God is faithful. And he has called each and every one of you. Does that make you special?
Yes.
You are very, very, very special. And we've got to realize that he is faithful to do what he says he's going to do. Man, oh man. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And the word keep there is guard, the word guard. He's going to guard you from evil. This is the Lord. He is faithful. Do we trust him? Do we believe him to be true and faithful? Yeah, we want to. We want to grow in our heart and our believing of these great realities. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, our believing without wavering. Why? Why would we hold fast to something? You know, we want to see results. We want to see healing. We want to see deliverance. We want to see needs met. And so it doesn't happen the first second, the second second. It doesn't happen in the first 5 minutes. It doesn't happen maybe that day. But what do we need to do? We stay with it. We stay with it without wavering. Without wavering, for it says he is faithful that promised. So if God promised it, we know that the quality of faithfulness will come into play, and he will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Wow. Well, I want to close out this sharing. And these two qualities of being true and faithful, they're in Revelations here, and they're in the very last part of Revelation as well as what I shared with you in the beginning. Revelation 21:5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Two great qualities that we want to appreciate, know, understand, believe. And then finally in Revelation 22:6, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true." Isn't that neat? These sayings are faithful and true. So we want to get our head tracking on the reality of who our God is, our Heavenly Father. He is faithful and He is true. Just remember that. As we live the moments by moments, day by day, we have a Father that is faithful and true. He's not some fictitious. He's not some DC cartoon superhero, right? We got all these superhero movies and everything, all these different superheroes. That's not true, right? Everybody gets excited about Spider-Man. I don't care if he can shoot his web across the buildings and swing all over the place. I'd rather have eternal life in a relationship with God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and know that he will be faithful to his promises. This is what's true. This is what we get excited about. My goodness. We are children of he who is true. Real and genuine. He is faithful. And he is always there for us. That is who he is. He cannot be anything else. He's not a man that he can lie. He can't do what he says he can do. Does that make sense? Or cannot do. In other words, he cannot do anything else than what he says he will do. All right? If he says he's true, then he's true. If he's faithful, then he's faithful. He's going to do it. We need to take him at his word. So what does this mean for us? Means that we can trust him, we can rely on him, and we can believe on him. So may we be faithful and true before our Heavenly Father as we grow in him. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, amen. All right, Father, thank you for who you are and that we can recognize the reality that you are true. You're not some fictitious made-up character. But you are true, and the things you say are true. Your word's true. We are true because you've called us into your family. And you are faithful to carry out your word. So we are just in awe of how wonderful you are. And that with these qualities and this understanding of these great qualities, we can have great expectations with you. We can have such a wonderful relationship with you, a fellowship that's just second to none. So thank you, Father, for who you are. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.